Our gospel lesson this week comes from the book of Luke, beginning in the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And then he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
The salaries of professional athletes as a whole causes the average person to gasp in awe and indignation. We often ask ourselves, between the dreams of what we could do with all that money, all of that for what? Shooting a ball through a hoop? Throwing or catching a football? Or hitting a tiny little baseball or golf ball? All something that we were willing to do for free when we were growing up? Truth be told, most of us would probably still play for free if we were given the chance. Despite being in the middle class, we've tried to match our athletic hero's wealth by accumulating more possessions than ever before, and for a very long time. Today, one of the fastest growing segments of our gross national product, that is the total value of goods produced and services provided by a country in 1 year, is the storage business. Investors can't build these mini storage, self-storage units fast enough. They provide safe, sometimes temperature-controlled environments in which to store our stuff for which we have no room at home. Americans are building bigger barns, and they frequently look like storage units. Nothing wrong with that, I guess. Unless we develop the barn building complex that afflicted the landowner that you heard in today's text. Faced with increasing fortunes and possessions, the man pondered his next move. Notice that I read, "I and I and my and my and I and my and my and I and my." So said the farmer whose soul was enjoying what his land produced, and all of that while he was wondering where to store it all. Jesus countered this rich man, "Take care. Guard against greed. Life doesn't consist in the abundance of possessions." Jesus knew the trouble with possessions. If one isn't careful, one's possession can in fact possess us. The "I and me and mine" refrain is a very popular song in the human hymnal, especially for those whose philosophy is enough is never enough. That's why we build large houses, 3-car garages, tool sheds, and storage units to store all of our stuff. Here in the United States, barns were once synonymous with being American. big barns, small barns, stone barns, log barns, plank barns, round barns, square barns, and banked barns. They dotted the American landscape. A barn was and is a place where the farm tangibles like animals and feed and machinery were stored. If you farmed, you needed a barn. As for the architecture of the barn, it came directly from the church. The clever brains and rough hands which conceived and constructed European cathedrals and monasteries also built barns in a similar style. The banked barn, popular in Ohio, shows the influence of church architecture. It's a two-floor rectangular barn that is normally built into a hillside. The upstairs layout suggests a basilica with a center bay inspired by a nave, and the side bays reflect church aisles. How ironic. Jesus warns us about being barn-building fools, yet the barns we build are modeled after the places where we worship the one who warned us about building barns. But notice that Jesus didn't think that the barns were bad. He just thought we didn't always need to build bigger ones. People who are as invested in barn building as this rich man in our text today don't have time for the kingdom of God, can't spare the energy for advancing the agenda of the church, lose sight of divine priorities, become blind to the growing and deathly materialism of big is better. It's a shot across the bow not to let your soul sink so low beneath the weight of stuff that you lose a sense of what's important in life. The rich farmer, poor in heart, worships his desires, all made possible by his possessions. He adores the idea of his success. His thinking centers on success alone, believing possessions will satisfy his soul. He becomes a barn-building fool. Maybe he didn't figure on dying so soon. Of course, who among us does? But I did, and he wasn't ready. I doubt that any of us are ready. The Apostle James isn't sympathetic to his plight. "Come now, you rich people," he writes, "weep and wail for the miseries that are coming to you. Your riches have rotted, and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have rusted, and their rust will be evidence against you, and it will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasures for the last days." Most of us don't consider ourselves rich, but the people to whom Jesus addressed his remarks probably would have. 80% of the world's population considers us rich and wonders why we are not happy. It's not impossible for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven, merely more difficult, says Jesus. In his day, a camel could get through the eye of the needle gate in Jerusalem, but first it would kneel, then crawl through on its knees. Not an easy trick for a camel, carrying silks and figs and carpets and gold from afar. Being rich, possessing an abundance of belongings, isn't the problem. In fact, as I read this text, signing lucrative contracts, earning super large incomes, or building bigger barns isn't the problem either. Forgetting God, forgetting to get down on your knees and thank God, the giver of life and all things, that is the problem. Jesus notes the irony. The man thinks he's the creator of his own wealth. Jesus says, "Not so. It was the land that produced the abundant crop. The rich man had little to do with it. God gave him his blessings." The problem for us and for the rich man is our attitude towards ourselves and towards God. An abundance of possessions gathered, ordered, loved, stored, and build an attitude of greed. The selfish song of I and me and mine can distract us and cause us to forget God, forget our mortality, and forget we can't take it with us. Greed and a desire for riches are traps that bring ruin and destruction. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And Christians are warned, do not put your trust in wealth. Covetousness, or having an excess or greedy desire for more, is in fact idolatry. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5 says, For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Greed refuses to be satisfied. More often than not, the more we get, the more we want. Material possessions will not protect us in this life or eternity. The I and my and me and mine can cause us to miss the point of what French philosopher and Jesuit priest Teilhard de Chardin, that's a pretty fancy name, he wrote, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Greed makes us forget that we are, in fact, spiritual beings. We weren't created to be barn-building fools. So let's give thanks for the barn of the barns that we have, and out of the abundance of what has been graced to us by God, let us use our resources to sow seeds of love and justice everywhere and help bring about God's kingdom. Amen.